Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it! New thing! This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ads to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Tell them this. No matter.
Junior, I apologize for the low tone in my voice tonight, but the brother got a serious headache, almost enough to keep me from doing the show, but it is too important not to do the show tonight. I have got to do the show tonight because I have seriously come across some great information for you, ladies and gentlemen. And it would only be right for me to divulge the information that I have. It's very important that we understand what we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. Very important we understand what we're dealing with. And the reason why I said we have to understand what we're dealing with is because I speak constantly about the spiritual warfare that we're going in, that we're battling. And I want to take time to explain to you not only what we're dealing with in this time, but the space and time in which we're dealing with. And then I'll get to the thing, because like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I am taking my time on this one. Very much so, taking my time, because it is too darn important for me not to do that, okay? And I'm just letting you know, I'm just getting it out there, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to get serious of what's going on. And I'd like to thank, first of all, Jesus Christ. I'd like to thank my family for the support, and I'd like to thank my fans and friends and fellow bloggers and V-blogs and all those other people who do so well at what they do in their craft. I'm personally not professional, but I just want to send my special thanks out to those people and also Christ. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and kick it with the you can find me at george.mango.904 on Facebook, also Sound Off Forums on Facebook. You can also go to my website, which is soundonforums.com.net.info, and that's all off of my personal website. And you can, it's three F's and an S, so it's soundofforums.com.net.org. You can also follow me on Twitter at hashtag soundoff97413, or you can also email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. If you like to call in and make a comment, it's up to you. Erico 347-989-1014. Ephesians 6 through 13. The King James Version, not with eye service and the men pleasers, but to the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Important, y'all. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Important, y'all. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. That's important, y'all. And ye master do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there the respection of the person with him. Important, y'all. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is a pivotal statement. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So important to understand this, Lord, ladies and gentlemen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Very important. Such a strong statement. And I'm not going to talk about this week. Next week, I will be hitting this hard for everybody, so you can get on the same page, same level. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. And let the church say, amen. And I tell you what, it's one of those things, ladies and gentlemen, that that is so important. And you know how I am. I try to be a champion of the people, try to love y'all as much as I can. And so what I was referring to earlier about this is, when I was listening to this, which I will play some of it, I won't play all of it. When I was doing my research for today, I came across this, and God hit me by saying a couple things to me a few minutes ago that I really didn't even connect that, but I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity and the guidance that he has delivered me. And it goes like this. In Ephesians, when I read Ephesians, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and rulers of darkness in high and wicked places, and rulers in high places, right? Wickedness in high places. You must understand that Jesus Christ has a way of doing things to get us to be very alerted. Do you honestly think? For those who don't believe in what I'm about to say, that's for you and God to handle. But let me say this. You see, when Jesus, I apologize. I wanted to look the scripture up, but I've just got up from a headache, nap from a headache, and I didn't have time to research it. But I can't think of it off the top of my head. But okay. So, there's a few here. Let me see if these are the ones that I'm looking for. And I will tell you in a second. Okay. So in Luke 8:17, it says, this is coming from the New International Version, it says, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." Ladies and gentlemen, let me read the English Standard Version. It says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to understand that, okay, right? Check this one out. Mark 4:22. "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." Ladies and gentlemen, this right here, King James Version, it says, "For there is the same Mark 4:22, but it's only King James Version. It says, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, nor was anything kept secret, but that it shall become abroad." Okay, we'll go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:5. "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring the light what is hidden in the darkness, and will expose the motivations of the heart. At that time will each receive their praise from God." Huh? Are you feeling what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? The New American Standard Version. New American Standard Version. It says, "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but put until the Lord cometh, who will bring to light and things hidden in the dark, and disclose the motions of men's heart. And then each man man's praise will come to him from God." Let's do one more. Luke 12:3. "Whatever he said," this is coming from a New International Version, "what you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what I'm saying here. I'm going to read New the New American Standard Bible version. According whatsoever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Ladies and gentlemen, what I am telling you, let me read one more because this one sounds good. I like this the way this one sounds. The International Standard Version says, therefore, what you have said in the darkness will be heard in the daylight, and whatever whispered in private rooms will be shouted from the housetops. Ladies and gentlemen, so what does that mean, George Beverly? What point are you trying to make? What I'm saying is you really think that God does not want to divulge what is going on to the American people? Do you not know that the conviction that one man had to do in order to put his life into danger to divulge this information? But God will protect him and hold him. See, what happens is there's a physical plane and there's the spiritual plane. You see, in our spirituality, we are floating and saying, hey, what is going on? We have no clue. We want to be at peace. We want to be at rest. Our physical form, our flesh, is saying the same thing. Why are you doing this to us? We are Americans. You shouldn't do this to us. But you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we are fighting a warfare that is so rooted, so deep in the devil's mischief that on the physical plane, we don't see that. But it takes Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to divulge, to bring what is talked about in private rooms and then shout it out on the rooftops. See, you've got to understand the power of God. And I thank Jesus for the revelation on that. You see, because I've been talking about these dark rooms. I talked about the Matrix, how there is a shadow or a back room where these people go and they conspire, like the Bilderberg group, the Translateral group, the Foreign Council group, all these things that I've been telling you, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus will not let his people down. Oh, he will not. And so now that I have said this, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go into some real talk. You hear me? Some real talk, baby. I'm talking real talk. I'm going to play a bit for you. And this right here, excuse me, this is coming from C-SPAN video. This is cspanvideos.org. If you want to look it up, this is a video. It is the Cybersecurity and the Government Surveillance, June 12, 2013. Now, what I'm going to play is the whole thing is good. The whole thing is good. So if you ever get a chance to get around to it, looking at the whole video, please do. This right here is an open hearing. Most of the stuff that they were going to talk about would have been on the 13th, which would have been a closed hearing. You remember we talked about that a few days ago, where there's been a couple of open hearings, and now there's been secret hearings. And so there's certain things that was not able to be said based off of the security issues that because it's all classified right now. So they can't necessarily divulge information because of the security of the classified information. So once they declassify it and they make it available, you best believe I'm going to find it out and I'm going to post it on the website for you guys. So the clip that I'm going to play, two clips, okay? I thought I was going to do one, but one popped in my head. It said that it's a senator, United States Senator, Republican from Nebraska. His name is Mike John Ames. I'm just going to let you play it and let
call. You've been asking if that's right or wrong.
That's correct.
but I'm not talking about content at this point. I'm not asking if you can read some of these emails. I'm assuming at some point there would be a legal standard by which you could do that. Being a lawyer, I know that. What I'm only getting to is you've identified for us that you can get phone contacts. I'm asking, can you get Google contacts? Can you get email contacts? I'm not talking about reading the email or seeing what they're saying back and forth. I'm not at that point. But what I worry about is how far do you believe this authority extends? Can you get Google contacts? Can you get email contacts? And again, I'm not asking about reading the email.
So I think there's a couple things here that I want to make sure that we've got. The BR FISA only talks about phone contact, phone metadata. That's all that program talks about. So any program that we have, and Senator Feinstein, if you want to get the content, you'd have to get a court order. In any of these programs, you know we have court orders for doing that, with oversight by Congress, by the courts, and by the administration. So my concern in all of this is that I think this is an area where we have to give you both the detail, and I think we need this for the American people. They need to understand it so they can see what we're doing and what the results of it are. I do think that's important. I also believe, you know, we had this debate several times, and Senator Durbin brought it up, from 2001 on. And this is one now where we need to bring out, because of these leaks, the rest of the story, show what we do, what it protects the country from, and have the debate. Does it make sense? And so that's part, in order to do that, I think what we have to give you is the rest of that data. Tomorrow, we'll put that in a classified session, but the intent would be to try to get as much out public so that everybody has the information where we can. And the reason that I hesitate a little bit here is I don't want to make a mistake that causes the statements that I have for our country to lose some form of protection and we get hit with a terrorist attack because I made that mistake.
Yeah. And I thank the chair for the additional time, and I'll wrap up with a comment. The concern here, the American public is fearful that in this massive amount of data you get, that there's the ability of the federal government to synthesize that data and learn something more than maybe what was ever contemplated by the Patriot Act. That would be number one. The second thing is a more personal issue, and it kind of gets into some of the concerns about Cyber Command. And that is, you're in this hugely unique role. We've always had this view of separating the civilian leadership, politically elected, from the military leadership. And yet you've got this dual hat. And it creates a concern, not about you, because you've got a remarkable record, and I thank you for your service. But it is a very, very concerning role that we find you in, at least for Mike Johanns. And I just think we've got to get some information out to the public, because right now we're all getting bombarded with questions that many of us at the rank and file level in the Senate cannot answer. I am not the chair of the Intelligence Committee. I'm not the ranking member. I don't serve on the committee. And the impression has been created that people parked in our office giving us daily briefings on this or monthly briefings, and that's not been the case.
Well,
so we need to know.
Senator Johanns, I think you had an excellent line of questioning, and I must say the tone and demeanor were appreciated.
Thank you.
And General Alexander, we are going to move on from this topic. I think you had that. I think Senator Merkley has been waiting.
Requires for an application for production of any tangible.
Okay, So the reason why I played that one, and because that senator from Nebraska brought up a very, very slippery slope type of question that bubbled me with excitement, because as he pointed out, he wanted to know, he didn't, listen, you remember when we were going over these specific the sections in the Patriot Act? Well, according to, this is the part where Senator Murky is going to get to, but in the first part with Senator John Enns from Nebraska, he was simply asking not about the ability to get the information, but could they, and when I say they, Homeland Security, FBI, NSA, any type of agency that deals with intelligence, whether it be military or civilian, to be able to go into your contacts. Now, this means contacts on your phone, because you know nowadays everything you can do, if you go to Facebook, you go to Twitter, you go to Yahoo, you go to whatever, you can always add your contacts. So when you download all those things, the question was asked, instead of going and tracking numbers, they could go into your phone, gather the contact information, then trace those people in your contacts depending on what they say in your phone call and track them. They can also do that in your emails by getting the contacts and the contents of your emails, whether Hotmail, Google, doesn't matter. What else? Also, what about Yahoo? All the conversations that you think are hidden or deleted are still on file. They have ways to receive that. I have told you, ladies and gentlemen, before, the only way to destroy any type of electrical data is through fire, period, which is pretty funny. Not really funny, ha-ha, but it's funny because the devil deals with fire. I play this other clip, and then we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. I'm telling you, it's about to get deep and loaded up in here. And I love doing this. I love doing this for you guys. So I'm going to play this. And he is a United States Senator, Democrat from Oregon, which is my home state now that I claim. His name is Jeff Murky. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he acts, not with the A-A-X, but he A-F-K, with the severity of the question I would ask if I was a senator. And so I post that on my Facebook, and I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to listen very closely, because when we start going over the Patriot Act again, these things we've already talked about. So continue to listen on, and then I'll comment after.
The question, and you want to get it right. And the answer, I would suggest, should be in writing. That way you get it right, and he gets his answer. How does that sound?
We'll take that for the record.
I've asked that question get answered tomorrow at the hearing by Justice Senator Murky, exactly as you have delivered the question. Okay? But either way, Senator Murky should get his answer, and I would suggest perhaps both in writing, your hearing, and into his hands.
I thank the chair, both chairs. And if I can elaborate on the piece that I would like answered, is that okay, Madam Chair? Okay. Thank you. In between these two pieces, FISA court gives an interpretation of the plain language of the law. Their interpretation is what translates the standards in the law into what is governable in terms of what you can do. I had an amendment last December that said these findings of law that translate the requirements that are in the law into what is permissible needs to be declassified so we can have the debate. I believe that what you just said is you want that information to be declassified that explains how you get from these standards of law to the conduct that has now been presented publicly. Did I catch that right? And do you support the standards of law, the interpretation of the FISA court of the plain language to be set before the American people so we can have this debate?
I think that makes sense. I'm not the
only decision maker in the administration on this process. So there are two issues. I'm not equivocating. I just want to make sure that I put this expectation exactly right. And that is, I don't want to jeopardize the security of Americans by making a mistake and saying, yes, we're going to do all that. But the intent is to get the transparency there. So, Senator, I will work hard to do that. And if I can't do that, I will come back to you and tell you why, and then we should have that discussion and run it out. And I defer to the chair of the Intel Committee, but I think that's reasonable to get this out. Now, having said that, I don't have the legal background that perhaps you have in this area. I want this debate out there for a couple reasons. I think what we're doing to protect American citizens here is the right thing. Our agency takes great pride in protecting this nation and our civil liberties and privacy. And doing it in partnership with this committee, with this Congress, and with the courts. We have everybody there. We aren't trying to hide it. We're trying to protect America. So we need your help in doing that. This isn't something that's just NSA or the administration doing on its own. This is what that our nation expects our government to do for us. So we ought to have that debate. We ought to put it out there, and we've got to put those two together. So I just want to put that one caveat there. And if I can get it, if I can make it happen, I will.
General, I thank you for your expression of support. And I also want to thank Sheriff Feinstein, who helped develop and send a letter expressing this concern about the secrecy of the interpretations of the FISA court. I do think it's time that become understandable in public, because otherwise, how in a democracy do you have a debate if you don't know what the plain language means? I do have concerns about that translation, and I'll continue this conversation, and thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I'm actually going to ask a question about computer security.
Hold on, y'all.
General, thank you, and we're still in the middle of the year. In between...
Senator Lurker, I'd like to help you out. I think Senator Lurker...
Irvin brought it up from 2001 on. And this is one now where we need to bring out, because of these leaks, the rest of the story, show what we do, what it protects the country from, and have the debate. Does it make sense? And so that's part, in order to do that, I think what we have to give you is the rest of that data. Tomorrow, we'll put that in a classified session, but the intent would be to try to get as much out public so that everybody has the information where we can. And the reason that I hesitate a little bit here is I don't want to make a mistake that causes the statements that I have for our country to lose some form of protection and we get hit with a terrorist attack because I made that mistake.
Yeah.
I thank the chair for the additional time, and I'll wrap up with a comment. The concern here, the American public is fearful that in this massive amount of data you get, that there's the ability of the federal government to synthesize that data and learn something more than maybe what was ever contemplated by the Patriot Act. That would be number one. The second thing is a more personal issue, and it kind of gets into some of the concerns about Cyber Command. And that is, you're in this hugely unique role. We've always had this view of separating the civilian leadership, politically elected, from the military leadership. And yet you've got this dual hat. And it creates a concern, not about you, because you've got a remarkable record, and I thank you for your service. But it is a very, very concerning role that we find you in, at least for Mike Johanns. And I just think we've got to get some information out to the public, because right now we're all getting bombarded with questions that many of us at the rank and file level in the Senate cannot answer. I am not the chair of the Intelligence Committee. I'm not the ranking member. I don't serve on the committee. And the impression has been created that people parked in our office giving us daily briefings on this or monthly briefings, and that's not been the case.
Well,
so we need to know.
Senator Williams, I think you had an excellent line of questioning, and I must say the tone and demeanor are appreciated.
Thank you.
And General Alexander, we are going to move on from this topic. I think you have that. I think Senator Merkley has been waiting. What we're now moving into is a domain that is not the parameters of this hearing, though this senator will not inhibit any senator from asking any question they want. I want to remind the senators that tomorrow in the Feinstein hearing, many of these can be followed, and I hope it's a learning experience that when you go to Feinstein, your questions will even be, you know, as cogent and comprehensive as they are here today. So, Senator Merkley, we're going to turn to you now.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, General. And you referred to Section 215, and 215 requires for an application for production of any tangible thing. And it says in it that this application must have a statement of facts showing reasonable grounds that the tangible things sought are relevant to an authorized investigation. So we have several standards of law embedded in this application: a statement of facts, reasonable grounds, tangible things that are relevant to an authorized investigation. Now, as it's been described in this conversation and in the press, the standard for collecting phone records on Americans is now all phone records, all the time, all across America. How do we get from the reasonable grounds, relevant, authorized investigation, statement of facts, to all phone records, all the time, all locations? How do you make that transition, and how has the standard of the law been met?
Well, so this is what we have to deal with the court, and I think that we go through this court process. It's a very deliberate process where we meet all of those portions of the 215. We lay out for the court what we're going to do, and to meet that portion that you just said, the answer is we don't get to look at the data. We don't get to swim through the data. And let me
stop you there, because these are requirements to acquire the data, not to analyze the data, to acquire the data. This is the application to acquire the data. So here I have my Verizon phone, my cell phone. What authorized investigation gave you the grounds for acquiring my cell phone data?
I want to make sure I get this exactly right. I think on the legal standards and stuff, on this part here, I think we need to get the Department of Justice and others, because it is a complex area. And you're asking a specific question. I don't want to shirk that, but I want to make sure I get it exactly right. And so I do think what we should do is part of perhaps the closed hearing tomorrow, walk through that with the intent of taking what you've asked and seeing if we can get it declassified and out to the American people so they see exactly how we do it, because I do think that should be answered.
General, thank you, and let me fill in the middle piece here. In between...
Senator Merkley, I'd like to help you out. I think Senator Merkley has asked an excellent question.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to know, you see, when Senator Merkley asked him this question, ladies and gentlemen, it is not as simple as we thought it was, right? We know, according to the Foreign Investigation Surveillance Act of 1978, we know that they are required, because we talked about this yesterday, they are required to get federal approved warrants to even collect data. So what Senator Merkley was saying We're not talking about analyzing the data, because that's what the general was saying. Let me get his name correct. I don't want to mess that up. And by the way, he is the director of, ladies and gentlemen, let me not mess this up. He is the director of the intelligence agency, and his name is Alexander Keith Alexander. So when General Alexander went to talk about General Alexander is the he is the director of the NSA, okay? He's the director of the NSA, and when he was going to answer Senator Merkley's question as of what gives you the right to go through his cell phone and read his text, the general was going to reply with, well, when we collect the data and we start to look at him, Senator Merkley stopped him. And this is why it's very important that you understand while we're going through these the Patriot Act, trying to understand it in definition and in context in real time, ladies and gentlemen. So important. The reason why he stopped him was because it was the fact that he said, not when you've already collected an analysis and signed the analysis, but I want to know why or how you got the authority to even get there, because you have to be approved through a federal court, and we talked about that too. It has to be some type of court with 11 judges on it to warrant that. Another court, and they have to give that specifically, and they have certain criteria in which they can do that. So if they are monitoring, listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very closely. If they are monitoring everybody that is in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, it is illegal. You know why? Because they have to put in a warrant for every individual that they are tracking, or that they're listening into, or the data that, and so that is a question. And so we're not going to get an answer. We're not going to get because Senator Wawelski, she is the senator from Maryland. She is the chair of that. Stopped the senator and said that they had to wait tomorrow for the closed security briefing from the Justice Department, ladies and gentlemen. And so we will never know what gives them the authorization to trace, track, or pin registration, any of that stuff, because we do not have access to the secret hearing, the closed hearing. Do you see how it's very important to know what you're talking about instead of saying Obama's doing that? Okay, sure, it's Obama, but there's Democrats and Republicans that are sitting in this committee. Matter of fact, let me go to it to specifically tell you who's on the committee, Republican and Democrat alike, because we've talked about this before. The United States Senate is Selected Committee of Intelligence, right? Members of the 113th Congress right now in the majority. You have, they don't have their, I'm just going to do it, man. I got time. I'm not afraid because this thing, this thing is for real, and it's time people understand. So Senator Dianne Feinstein, she is a. Let me see, where do I find it? She's a Democrat. Okay. Let's see, J. Rockefeller, of course. He is a he is a Democrat as well. Ron Wyden, he's a Democrat. The chair, who is Senator Barbara Mikulski, she's a Democrat. Mark Udall, he is a Democrat.
Here.
Okay, and then we have Mark Warner. He's a Democrat. Martin Hesrich. He's a Democrat. Angus King is a Democrat. Okay, and then we have right. Okay, so I was correct in thinking that. Okay, so if you want to go and do some research for yourself about these individuals. Please do, because, you know, your job is to not believe everything I say and do your own research for you. That way you can get an idea of what is true and what's not true, and then you base your own opinion on what you have. And so the Democrats are in the majority right now. The minority right now is the minority, which are the Republicans, sexed by Chambliss. Richard Blur, Jim Rush, Dan Coats, Marco Rubio, Susan Collins, and Tom Coburn. All right? So these are the people that are sitting on the council right now, ladies and gentlemen. And so you've got to really understand the economy of it, because you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have seven Republicans, and you got 8 Democrats sitting on this board, ladies and gentlemen. And as you can see, it's not just Obama. You see, the hearing that they're referring to right now is that the president is asking for $13 billion to give the intelligence community, and that's just the base amount. And we read on the Homeland Security portion that they have an unlimited amount, ladies and gentlemen, unlimited. The Patriot Act as well gave them an unlimited amount of dollars, not including the fiscal monies that they are given. So they are on face value asking for $13 billion just for the intelligence community. But they're going to be asking for these private things later on. And so it's very important that to understand why Senator Merkley was asking those questions, because they're not authorized to do that. So they would have to put in as many people there is in the United States who has a cell phone, including children, okay? The kids are not protected, ladies and gentlemen. They are being watched too, okay? And that's why people are outraged, okay? People are outraged because of that fact. So let me put this twist on it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to put a twist on it. And the reason why I'm going to put a twist on it is because, Lord, don't tell me I closed it. No, I didn't. The reason why I'm going to put a twist to it is because it has been told to us by one of the top people in our government of what was going to happen. And we have known this for a long time, but we tend to not understand the deepness and the severity of what President Dwight Eisenhower said. Dwight Eisenhower famously warned the U.S. about the military-industrial complex in his farewell address. The military-industrial complex, or the military-congressional complex, is a concept commonly used to refer to the political and the monetary relationships between legislation, the national armed forces, and the military-industrial bases that support them. These relationships include political contribution, political improvement by military spending, lobbying to support bureaucracy, the oversight of the industry. It is a type of iron triangle. The term is most used to refer to the system behind the military of the United States, where it gains its popularity after it has been used for the farewell address by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, January 17, 1961, though the term is apparently applicable to any country with a similarly developed infrastructure. The term is sometimes used more broadly to include the entire network of contracts and the flows of money and the sources among individuals as well as corporations or institutions of the defense contractors, the Pentagon, the Congress, the executive branch. This sector is intrinsically probed to principal agent problems, moral hazard, and rent seeking. Cases of the political corruption have also surfaced in reality. A parallel system is that of the military complex, media complex, along with the more distant, the political media complex and the prison industrial complex. A similar theme was originally expressed in Daniel Gene's of 1963, The Fascism and the Big Business, about fascist government supporting a heavy industry. It can be defined as an informed or changing collaboration of groups of invested psychologically, moral, and material interest in the continuation of development and maintaining a high level of weaponry and preserving the colony marks in a military structure concept of an internal affairs. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, that is very scary in itself. Very scary in itself. Very scary. Now, let me... There's a chart, they say here. There's a chart. During the period of time in which he was the president. He said, this table listed below lists major United States armament manufacturers of World War II through Eisenhower presidency. Following each name, the column shows the ranking of the military primary contractors in terms of total value of armament production from June 1940 through September 1944, during the fiscal years of 1950 through 1952, and during the fiscal years of 1958 through 1960. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we talking about? Company Boeing, right? Boeing Company in World War II was ranked 12th. Korea, they were ranked 2nd, and in 1960, they were ranked number 1. General Dynamics in World War II was ranked number 4. In the Korean War, they were ranked number 8. In 1960, they were ranked number 2. Lockheed Corporation in World War II, they were ranked number 10. Korea, they were ranked number 7. In 1960, they were ranked number 4. The North American Aviation In World War II, they were ranked 11th. In Korea, they were ranked 9. In 1960, they were ranked number 5. The United Aircraft World Company in World War II was 13th. In Korea, they were 13th. In 1960, they were number 7. Douglas Aircraft Company was in World War II were ranked number 5. Korea was ranked number 4. And in 1960, was ranked number 8. Glenn L. Martin Company was ranked number 14 in World War II, number 23 in Korea, and ranked number 9 in 1960. Hughes Aircraft Company was ranked below 100 in World War II, and in Korea they were ranked 25th, and 1960 they were ranked number 10. Sperry Corporation was in World War II, was ranked 19th, in Korea 18th, and then in 1960 they were ranked number 11. Raytheon's company was ranked in World War II number 71. Korea, they were ranked 72. And in 1960, they were ranked number 12. Donnelly Aircraft was ranked below 100 in World War II, number 21 in Korea, and ranked number 12 in 1960. The RCA was ranked in World War II 43rd. Korea, 22nd, and in 1960, 14th. IBM was ranked, was ranked below 100 in Korea. In Korea, they were ranked 44th, and in 1960, they were ranked 15th. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, why am I reading you these things, and why is it important? It's important, ladies and gentlemen, because of this. Let me tell you the list where they're at now. Let's see, top 100 reporting. I don't want that. I wish I had the. I wish I had it up, because I deleted it. Not deleted, I took it down. Let me see if I got a history. Let's see, go to my history, show all history. I'm going to give it to y'all. Don't worry. It's coming. It is coming, ladies and gentlemen, because it's important that you know this information. Oh, what is it called here? What is it called? All right, here we go. Now, you remember when I was reading, let me pull this out right quick. All right. So now that we have an idea, let's see, Boeing. Let's look at Boeing currently. Boeing Enterprise as of 2010. Let's see, Boeing. All right, Boeing's not even on there, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Well, sorry, there is Bell Boeing. There it is. They're 22nd. They're 22nd, which they in 1960 that they were ranked number one. Okay, and then let's look up General Dynamics. See, General Dynamics is ranked number 4 right now, and they were ranked 2nd. In 1960, okay? Let's see. Lockheed Company, they are ranked right now in they're 58, and they were ranked number 3 in 1960. General Electric, which is GE, We know them very well. They are ranked number 21 when they were ranked number 4. The Northern American Aviation, which are not there anymore. They're not using them anymore. The United Craft is no longer used by the government. AT&T. AT&T is now number 95 when they were number 7 in 1960. Douglas Aircraft. Are no longer used by the government. Glenn L. Martin Company, and I'm sure some of these things have merged already, no longer with them. Let's see. Hughes Aircraft Company, no longer used with the government. Sperry Company is no longer used. Raven Company is number 5 when they were 12th. In 1960, Douglas is no longer used by the government. REC is no longer used, and IBM. IBM is number 44 when they were currently number 15. The reason why I bring this up, ladies and gentlemen, is because it is so important for us to know these things. We need to know what the government is spending our money. If they're asking for money for us to spend, then we need to know where our monies are going. Isn't that correct? Isn't that part of being accountable? I'm going to imagine so. I don't think I'm very far off by that. So let me also bring up this, right? So in the speech that was given by the FBI director, they were supposed to have been submitting documentation to that was asked by the Democrat senator from Louisiana, Senator Langino, wanted to know if their paperwork was submitted to the OMB, which stands for the Office of the Management and Budget. The Office of Management and Budget is the largest office within the Executive Office of the President of the United States, which is the EOP. The director of the OMB is the members of the President's cabinet. The main job of the OMB is to assist the president to prepare the budget. The OMB also measures the quality of the agency programs, policies, and procedures to see if they comply with the president's policies. The current OMB director is Mrs. Savella Matthews Brownwell. She is the director of that. Let's see. That is, I've already read that. Okay. So the critical mission of the OMB is number 1, budget development and execute is the promptment government-wide process managed by the EOP and devices by which the president implements in his policies, priorities, and the actions with everything from the president, from the DOD to the NS, from NASA. Number 2, the OMB manages either agency finances, paperwork, and IT. Okay. What else would be specific for you, ladies and gentlemen? Let's see what they would say. The largest component of the OMB is the Research Resource Office, which is organized along financial functioning lines mirroring the U.S. federal government led by the OMB Associate Director. Approximately half of all the OMB staff are assigned to these offices, and the majority whom are designated to as program examiners. Program examiners can be also be monitoring one or more federal agencies or may be assigned to typical areas such as monitoring users related to the U.S. Navy warships. These staff have dual responsibility by both managing and budgetary issues as well as reporting for giving expert advice to all the aspects of related to their program. Each year, they review federal agency budget requests and help decide that the results, resources requested will be sent to the Congress as a part of the president's budget. They perform in-depth program evaluation within the program assessment rating tool, review properly regulation agency testifying and analyzing pending legislation overseeing the aspect of the president's management agenda, including the agency's management and score sheets. Within the OMB, which the Office of Information and Regulations Affairs, the Office of Federal Procurement Policies, and the Office of the Federal Financial Management and the Office of the e-Government and Information Technology. Those jobs, it is specialized in issues such as the federal regulations or the procurement policies and law. Let's see here. I will go over the people in the organization. Not necessarily with people, but I will go over the programs within the OMB. And it's very important that we understand this part to it because, you see, they do the management part. They do all that research stuff, and then they talk to the Treasury and all that. It's so complex. But we'll get through it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. We have not deviated from what we've been talking about, and I want y'all to know, I thank you for listening in. The director of the OMB, then there's the deputy director of the OMB. Underneath the deputy is the Legal Affairs Division, is the Legislation Affairs Division, the Strategic Planning and Communication Division, the Management and Operation Division, the Economic Policy Division, the Legislation Reference Division, Budget Review Division, the Resource Management Office. Now, under the Resource Management Office, they have the National Resource Program, Education, Income, Maintenance and Labor Program. They have health program, general government program, and the national security programs. Then there's the Deputy Director of Management and Chief Performance Office. Underneath that is the Office of the Federal Finance Management, Office of the Financial Procurement Policies, Office of the E-Government and the Information Technology, Office of the Performance and the Personnel Management, Office of the Information and the Regulation Affairs. So now that we know that, we talked about the military complex, I want to re-examine what, because I have to put this together with the organization that I'm about to talk about now. So I did not know this. And maybe I did, and I kind of skipped my mind when I was going through everything. But in the briefing, there was the NSA director, and then there were all of the other ones were deputy assistants. There was the FBI, so there was the NSA director, the FBI, the CIA, and they had the niche. Now the niche is the civilian liaison between the government and the contractors or the contractees. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where the rubber meets the road. Now, yesterday we talked about companies you know, that the government contracts have coming out. We talked about public and we talked about private, right? Well, I'm going to read you about what private companies specifically do. So these private military companies are what they call private military firms or private military or security services. While hired by mercenaries is commonly practiced in the history of the armed force conflict, the United States Mercenary Convention, this is why the MPCs make a specific difference between their commercial activities and their connotations surrounding the word mercenaries, okay? As of 2000, while the PMCs, which stands for private military companies, PMCs often provide security to train or sustain official armed forces in service of the government. They also employ by private companies to provide bodyguards for key staff or protection of companies' presidents, especially in hostile territories. However, the contractors who use offensive force in a war zone could be considered unlawful combatants in accordance to the concept outlined by the Shia Terror Conference and expressly specific by 2006 American Military Commission Act. The service of private contractors are used around the world. P.W. Singer, the author of Contract Warriors, The Rise of the Privatization of Military Industrial, says the in-graphical term is operated in over 50 different countries. Its operations is very single continent, but Antarctica. In the 1990s, there used to be 50 military personnel for every one contractor. Now the scenario is 10 to 1, said Singer. Singer points out that these contractors have a number of duties depending on whom they are hired by. In developing countries, they have natural resources such as oil refineries. In Iraq, they also hire to guard the areas. They also hire guards companies to contract service and reconstruction efforts such as the GE. Apart from securing companies, they also secure official and government assets. Private military companies carry out many different missions and jobs. These include things such as supplying bodyguards to the Afghan president and plotting reconnaissance planes and helicopters are part of the Plan Colombia. They also are licensed by the United States Department of the State. They are contracted in the national government, trained soldiers, and reorganized military in Nigeria, Bavaria, Taiwan, the Equal, Ghana, and the MPC's industry is now worth $100 billion a year. According to 2008 study, the Office of the Director of the National Intelligence, private contractors make up 29% of the workforce in the United States intelligence community and cost equivalent of 49% of their personal budget. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to get you, ladies and gentlemen, to understand the capacity of it. So now, when the intelligence agency, because everybody sits down and they tell the Congress what they need and how much they need in order to make whatever happens. So when the intelligence people sat down on the clip that I just played you a few minutes ago, they were supposed to be sitting down answering questions based on what they needed the money for to legitimize them getting $13 billion for their agents, for the agencies wide. That saying this, 49% of the personal budget is paid by the United States intelligence community, ladies and gentlemen. So they're saying almost half of the budget, money that they're asking for will go to private contractors, or what they call mercenaries. Now, they have capability of protection and all these things, but you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it is almost unconstitutional. We already know about the Blackwater scandal and about those mercenaries out there, but that's just a percentage, okay? So when we start talking about who's getting money and where they're getting the money from, ladies and gentlemen, there is so much gray area that you don't even know about. And the reason why I say that is if the intelligence community is spending almost half of the budget in order to contract out of the government, we're not talking about the military force, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make that specifically clear. Because you have to know there is, I talked about all the military personnel that, you know, the Army, Air Force, there's Coast Guard and all those people. All those people have their intelligence agencies within their armed forces. But then you have the government side. The government side of the NSA, which are all civilians. You got the FBI, you have the CIA, you have the NSA, you have all these different civilian operations that is connected to the military. And so even though they're in departments, the reason why they are all on one panel, ladies and gentlemen, is because they continuously say that we must work all together in order to increase or to protect the threat of terrorism and to do counterterrorism of the United States. And this is why the Patriot Act is so pivotal in for us to understand and try to understand the dynamics of what's going on with the ties together. We're not only talking about a gridlock in Congress based upon, you know, giving people who want stuff. Let me look up how much of the fiscal budget will go to special program. Well, sorry. What is the cost going to what is that called? Benefit programs. Lord, what are they called? I wish I had the actual word for it, but I don't have that word. It's really just like giving me a block right now. There's so much information that I'm trying to disseminate. Okay, so according to, listen, now I want you to listen very closely. I'm getting this from the United States Government Spending.com website. I'm going to go ahead and save it just in case somebody asks about it again. But anyway, so according to this website now, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the cost of the welfare budget. Okay, so as far as 2013, this physical layout, and I'm looking at the graph currently right now. 23%, ladies and gentlemen, 23% of the physical budget will go to defense. Okay? I'm going to post this on Facebook and Twitter. 24% is going to go to healthcare. Guess what the third largest money budget of this budget, of this fiscal year, will be going to? The pensions, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, people who have retired from the federal government. So when you start talking about things like people need to get off their butts and we're trying to give it, welfare takes 11% of the budget. Now, let's put this in context, ladies and gentlemen. If the intelligence community is going to get $13 billion, right? If the intelligence community is going to get $13 billion for just the budget of a community, we're not talking about the extra money they're going to get. The difference between the intelligence community giving almost half to the private sector, civilians, is a 38% difference between welfare and the percentage that is going to be given to just the intelligence community. So you can say whatever you want to say, but the reality is this. Protection, right? Protection's only 2%. Transportation's going to get 3%. The general government, 1%. Other spending, 2%. And 9% for interest, 3% for education. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is sad. That is so sad. Now, I need to know, first of all, I need to know what this interest thing is, because that's not making sense to me. Okay, it says public debt transactions, okay? Other spending. I mean, I know I get into deep and I get crazy with these things. Okay, so check this out. Now, we talked about the general government, right, is 1%. Sorry, wait, let me make sure. Okay, so the other spending is 2%. That 2% is going to be basic research, general economic, commercial, and labor, agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting, fuel and energy, mining and manufacturing, contracting, communication under industry, R&D, economic affairs, NEC, waste management, wastewater management, pollution abatement, protection of the district and the overlay land lines, and RD, environment protection, NEC, housing development, community development, water supply, street lights, R&D, housing and communication amenities, housing and community amenity, NEC, recreation and sporting services, culture services, broadcasting and public centers service, religious and other community service, R&D, recreation, culture and religion, recreation, culture and religion, NEC, R&D, general public service, NEC, transfers of a general character between. What the hell does that mean? Transfers of general character between? I've never even heard of that, but it's in there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pulling it up now about the general. Okay, it says, in general, defense, NEC, and general savings. So, let me ask this question right here. If you're going to get a general government slice of the pie, and it's only 1%, then why is defense up there? Is that the secret black ops? I don't know. That's a question we have to ask. Where is this? I've never even heard of this. I am so glad that I'm looking up this stuff, okay? Now I'm going to look up protection, because that's very important. protection will be police service, fire prevention service, law courts, prisons, R&D, public order and safety, and public order and safety, NEC. So, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put this on my Twitter. Put this on my Twitter for you, beautiful people. And my Facebook in a little bit. Okay, so now that we've got a grip on that, well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff going on. I wish I had a little bit more time. But it's something that we need to talk about, and I'm not, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen very closely to me. I am not backing down from this because it is a very important, important thing that we're doing right now. We are catching up with what's going on. And so I feel the need that this is on the basis of a great show, because if you think about what we're doing, we're making a precedence, ladies and gentlemen. We're making precedence here. And the reason why we are is because we are now breaking through. Hear what I'm saying? We're now breaking through of not just hearsaying of what's going on, but we are doing the hard research of what we should have been doing and not listening to what others may have said. And I say others, and I'm only saying the mainstream media who puts out these God forbid, these different things. Now, I'm looking at the OMB website, and I'm going to have to go and actually take time and do that. So, and I was going to give you figures, but it's important. I'm just very elated right now because we have a lot that we talked about on the show, and we, as a people, have a right to understand and know what's going on, and that's what we're doing. So let me also raise these questions. Not raise these questions, but add this too. This is coming from Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Okay, it says the reading says. This comes from cbpp.org. It says, policy basics. Where do our federal tax dollars go? And as it's downloading, give me a second here. All right, let me go back to the original page. Okay, so it says the federal government collects taxes to finance various public services. As policymakers and citizens weighing key decisions about the revenues and the expenditures, it is intrinsic to examine what the government does with the money it collects. In the fiscal year of 2012, the federal government spent $3.5 trillion, amounting to 23% of the national's gross domestic product, which is the GDP. Of that, 3.5 trillion, nearly 2.5 trillion, was financed by federal revenues. The remaining amount, about $1.1 trillion, was financed by borrowing. This deficit will ultimately be paid for by the future taxpayers. As the graph on the next page shows, three major areas of spending each made up about one-fifth of the budget. And this is where it gets interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Defense and international security assistance. Now, it gets really, really tight when it says international security assistance. I mean, that's kind of scary, but we'll get to it. In 2012, 19% of the budget, or $689 billion, paid for the defense and security-related international activities. The bulk of the spending is category reflects of the underlying cost of the Department of Defense. The total also includes the cost supporting operations in Afghanistan or other related activities. Described as overseas contingencies operations in the budget, funding for which totaled $127 billion in 2012. Social Security is another 22% of the budget, where are $773 billion paid from Social Security, which provides monthly retirement benefits averaging $1,263 to $36.7 billion retired workers in December 2012. Social Security also provides benefits for 2.9 military spouses and children of retired workers and 6.3 million surviving children and spouses of the deceased workers and 10.9 million disability workers and their legal dependents in December 2012. Medicaid and Medicare and CHIP, three health care programs, and CHIP stands for the Children's Health Insurance Program, it together account for 21% of the budget in 2012. $732 billion, literally two-thirds of the amount, or $472 billion, went to Medicaid care, which provided health care coverage around 48 million people who covered over the age of 65 and have disabilities. The remaining of these category funds, Medicaid and CHIP, in which the typical month is 2012, provided health care as long-term care about 60 million low-income children, parents, elderly people, and people with disabilities. Both Medicaid and CHIP require matching payments from the state. Two other categories together amounting for the fifth of the federal spending is Security Net Program. About 12% of the federal budget in 2012, or $411 billion, supported programs to provide aid other than health insurance or Social Security benefits to individuals and families facing hardship. Spending on safety net programs declined in the minimal and real terms between 2011 and 2012 as the economy continued to improve. These programs include the reimbursement of portions of the Earned Income Tax Credit and Child Credit Tax Credit with low assistance and moderate income working families through the tax code program that provides the cash payment to eligible individuals and households, including supplemental Social Security income from elderly and disability, poor, and unemployment insurance, various forms and in kinds of assistance in low-income families and individuals, including SNAP, which is considered the food, school meals, low-income housing assistance, child care assistance, and assistance in meeting home energy bills, and various other programs such as these that aid the abuse and negotiate for children. Some programs keep billions of people out of poverty each year. So, now that we have that out there, that's information you can go and put in your pocket, right? You can go put that in your pocket. Ain't nothing about nothing, right? All right. So, this, well, I'll save this for tomorrow. But as we go on, I'm now going to get into the nitty-gritty of the program. And I say to you, here we go. Let's see. I thought I had it on the right one. Let me make sure. Okay, so this is coming from public law. This is a public law, which is the 707-56, which is the United States Patriot Act of 2001. Okay, so we are at Section 217, the interception of computer trackers communication. Chapter 198 of Title 18 Uniform Code is amended 1 in Section 2510 Alpha in the paragraph 18 by striking and at the end B. Bravo in paragraph 19 by striking the period and inserting a semicolon and Charlie by inserting after paragraph 19 of the following. 20 protect computer has meaning set forth in section 1030 and 21 computer trespassers. Alpha, meaning a person who accesses a protected computer without authorization and through thus have no reasonable expectations of privacy in any computer transmission to, through, or from the protected computer. And Bravo does not include a person known by the owner or the operator of the protected computer to have an existing contractual relationship with the owner or operator by a protected computer for the access to all or the part of the protection of the computer. Number two, in section 2511, open parentheses, close parentheses, by inserting the end of the following. One, it shall have been unlawful under the chapter as a person acting under color of law to intercept the wire or electronic communications of the computer trespasser transmitted to, through, and or from the protected computer if, one, the owner or the operator of the protected computer authorizes the interception of the computer trespasser communications on the protected computer, two, the person acting under the color of the law is lawfully engaged in the investigation, three, the person acting under the color of the law has reasonable grounds to believe that the contents of the computer trespasser communications will be relevant to the investigation. Number four, such interception does not require communication other than those transmitted from or from the computer trespasser. Section 218, foreign intelligence information. Section 104, Alpha Bravo, Alpha 7 Bravo, and Section 303, Alpha 7 Bravo of 50 Uniform Code of 1804, Alpha 7 Bravo, and 1823, Alpha 7 Bravo of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978 are each amended by striking the proposed and inserting the significant proposed. Section 219, single jurisdiction search warrant for terrorism. Rule 41 Alpha of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure is amended by inserting after executed the following. And three, in an investigation of domestic terrorism or international terrorism, as defined in the Section 2331 of Title 18, the United States Code, by a federal mandated judge in any district in which the activities related to the terrorism may have occurred and the search of the property or the person within or out of the district. Section 220, nationwide service of search warrants for electric evidence, alpha. In general, Chapter 121 of Title 18, United States Code, is amended, one, in Section 2703 by striking under the federal rules of the criminal procedure, every place it appears and insert using the procedures described in the federal rules of criminal procedure by the United States on which the jurisdiction over the offense under the investigation, and two, in Section 2711, in the paragraph one by striking and, in paragraph two, striking the period and inserting and Charlie by inserting at the end of the following three, the term court of compete jurisdiction has the meaning to assign by the subject of 3127 and include any federal court within that definition without geographic limitations. Bravo. Confirming amendment. Section 2703 Delta of the Title 18 Uniform Code is amended by striking described in Section 3127 to Alpha. Section 221 Trade Sanctions. Alpha. In general, the Trade Sanction Reform and the Export Enhancement Act of 2000, Public Law 106-387, 11 Stature 1549-alpha-67, is amended, one, by amending Section 904 to Charlie to read as follows. Charlie, using the facilitate the design, development, or products of chemical or biological weapons, missiles, or weapons of mass destruction. Two, in Section 906, Alpha 1, A Alpha, by inserting the Taliban are the territories of Afghanistan controlled by the Taliban after Cuba, and Bravo, by inserting or the terrorist Afghanistan controlled by Taliban after within such countries. Three, in the Section 906, Alpha 2, by inserting or to any other entities in Syria or North Korea after Korea. Bravo, application of the Trade Sanctions Reform and Export Enhancement Act. Nothing in the Trade Sanction Reform and Expansion Enhancement Act of 2000 shall limit the application or the scope of any law established criminal or civilian penalties, including any executive order or regulations prohibiting the persuasion to such laws or similar or succeeding laws for the unlawful export of any agriculture, commissary, medicine, or medical device to, number one, a foreign organization, group, or person designated pursuant to the executive order number 12947 of January 23, 1995, as amendment. Number two, a foreign terrorist organization persuaded to anti-terrorism and the effective penalty of death act of 1996, public law 104-132. Number three, a foreign organization or group or person designated pursuant to executive order number 13224 of September 23rd of 2001. Number four, any narcotic trafficking entities designated persuasion of the executive order number 12978 October 21st, 1995, or the foreign narcotic kingpin designation Act Public Law 106-120R, number 5, any foreign organization, group, or person subject to any restriction for its involvement in weapons of mass destruction or missile proliferation. Section 222, assistance to law to enforce the agencies. Nothing in this act shall impose any additional technical obligations our requirements on providing of a wire or electronic communication service of any person to furnish, facilitate a technical assistance. A provider of a wire or electronic communication service, landlord, custodian, or other person who furnishes facilities or technical assistance persuasion in Section 216 shall be reasonably compensated for such reasonable expenditures in concurring to providing such facilities or assistance. Section 223, civil liability for certain unauthorized disclosures. Section 2520 of Title 18, Uniform Code is amended, number one, in the subject alpha after entities is by inserting other than United States. Number two is adding at the end of the sentence alpha, foxtrot, administrative discipline. If a court or appropriate department or agency determines that the U.S. state, United States of United States or any other chapter of the court or appropriate department or agency finds that the concerns surrounding the violation raises serious question about whether or not an officer or employee of the United States affects willfully and intentionally with respect to the violation, the department or the agent shall, upon reception of the of a true and correct copy of the device of the decision and findings of the court and appropriate department or agent prompt initial of proceeding to determine whether discipline actions against the officer or the employee is warranted. If the head of the department or the agency involved determines that the discipline action is not warranted, he or she notifies that the Inspector General was with jurisdiction over the department or the agency concerned and should provide the Inspector General with the reasons for such determination. Number three, by adding a new subtitle, GOLF, as following, GOLF, improper disclosure is violation. Any willful disclosure or use by any investigator or law enforcement officer or governmental entity of the information beyond the execution of the permit by Section 2517 is a violation of this chapter for the purpose of the Section 2520 alpha. Bravo Section 2707, the Title 18 Uniform Code, is amended, one, into the subtitle alpha after the entities by inserting other than the United States. Number two, by striking the subsection delta and inserting the following, delta administrative discipline. If a court or appropriate department or agency determine that the United States or any other department or agencies have violated any provision of this chapter, the court or appropriate department or agency finds that the circumstance surrounding the violation raises serious questions about whether or not the officer or the employee of the United States acted willfully or intentionally with respect to the violation. The department or the agency should be, upon reception of the truth and correct copy of the decision and findings of the court or appropriate department or agency, promptly initial a proceeding to determine whether the disciplinary action against the officer or the employee is warranted. If the head of the department or agency involved determines that the discipline action is not, if the head of the department or agency involved determines that the disciplinary action is not warranted, he or she shall notify the Inspector General with jurisdiction over the department or agency concern and shall provide the Inspector General with the reasons of determination. Three, by adding a new subtitle GOLF as a follow the improper disclosure, any willful disclose of the record as that term is defined by Section 552 alpha, open parentheses alpha, close parentheses of Title 5 United States Code, obtained by an investigator or a law enforcement officer or a government entity persuaded to Section 2703 of the title are from the device installed persuading to section 3123 or 31325 of this title that is not a disclosure made in the proper performance of the official functions of the office or the governmental entities making the disclosure. If the violation of this chapter is provision shall not apply in the information previous lawful disclosure prior to the condemnation of the civil or the administration proceeding under this chapter to the public by federal, state, or legal governmental entities or by the plaintiff in a civil action under this chapter, Charlie 1, Chapter 121 of Title 18, Government Code, is amended by adding at the end of the following. 2712, civil action against the United States. Alpha, in general, any person who is aggressive by any willing violation of this chapter or the Chapter 119 of this chapter are the sections of 106 Alpha, 305 Alpha, or 405 Alpha of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978. 50 Uniform State Code 10801, many consents of the action in the United States District Court against the United States to recover money damages. In any such action, if a person who is aggravated successfully established in the violation of this chapter or the chapters of 119 of this title are the above specific provisions of Title 50, the court may asset as damages. Going back to this, all right, so I'm going to stop here. Yeah, I'm going to stop here, and I want to get want to talk to you, of course, about these different things. So, like I said before, I want to reiterate, in this intelligence community, there is a plethora of different regulations to this, and as you can tell, I'm currently throwing up all these different numbers at you, but ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative that we take a look at the real deal that's going on, okay? And the reason why I say that is because we know that they're spying on us. Now, the question that I have is, why is it why is it the fact that it takes God to reveal the openness of this so people can get open their eyes? It pretty much takes you know, you to get slapped in the head and pretty much have to say, hey, this is not fair, in order for you, ladies and gentlemen, to really get it. And I want everybody to be on the same page. I would like everybody to understand that we are protected. We cannot be bullied into thinking that we are safer than we were before. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are not safer. You see, the misconception is we're fighting this global war on terror, okay? If we're fighting this global war on terror, we're also fighting domestic terrorism. And so when Obama signed that lone wolf extension called Sunset, it further exposed the hypocrisy of our federal government. And we need to let them know loud and clear that we're not going to give up our freedom. We're not going to give, like Senator Ron Paul said, he said, why are you giving all your liberty just to feel secure? You're not going to feel secure even when they start adding more to the bill. And so what he said in that presidential debate was completely true. Now, at the time, Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, said, we need to be protected. We need more. We need more, inside information. Ladies and gentlemen, as you see, the more liberties you give up, the less protected we are. And I started tonight saying about what Jesus does. He will reveal the secret talks in the room and bring it to light, ladies and gentlemen. This is our opportunity for us to continue to work and to pound on the government, to be more transparent. Get a budget that actually works. Because the country's not getting any younger. And we also have to keep in the back of our mind of the military-industrial complex and the political media complex. These things are tools that are being used by the devil in order to persuade us to not follow Jesus Christ. And you may not see it, but I pray to God that God would allow these natures to be more transparent to you and your life. And I say again, if you don't think that you being involved in politics will save you, it will only make it worse, because everybody is affected no matter what job you have. And if you don't have a job, you're affected even more. Okay? So we are Americans. We find ways to come together. Why should it take a national disaster or a terrorist attack for us to say we all bleed the same color and come together? My name is George Beverly. The next time I see you, you should be signing off. And you know what?
Give a warm death toast to welcome to Mike Booker.
I haven't even begun to spill my life stories onto these pages. Some people saying they know how hard it must have been, and I'm asking myself how. Because you heard a couple of my poems, we learned the time the gunshots, they happen so much. 7:45, 9:17, 11:23, 1:36 in the morning, nigga, every night, ducking below window sills. My grandmother used to tell me, be grateful for what you got. Some people got it rougher than you, and I couldn't see how when the lights and heat didn't work. Had to walk to the dinner table with a candle and two blankets on just to keep warm. We ate peanut butter sometimes so we won't go to bed hungry. I lived between danger and a stop sign. Learned the streets backwards, I was outside so much. Better yet, learned the streets better than the back of my hand. Better yet, learned the streets better than the back of my father's head, because that's all I ever saw. Once, when I was 15, I went with Chris to go shoot at some niggas over his baby mom's, and a gunshot missed my chest by 6 inches while I listened to the stories that rotated around the neighborhood blocks like squad cars. Lil Jerry, his three brothers, four younger sisters, had to sleep on cardboard boxes in the garage at the end of my alley because his mother did drugs too bad. Miss Adams down the street had 6 sons. All of them sold drugs. Neither one of them ever saw age 19. The youngest killed a week before his 19th birthday. And you wonder why it's a curse to be stuck here forever? School never meant nothing to me, because everybody from Kinsey to Cicero was on welfare. The property tax was so low, teachers fresh from college would come work at my school for 2 months so they could get a job somewhere in the suburbs. So they could put on their resume, I worked in the inner city like they was in the trenches of war. And you think we didn't know what was happening when we had 4 different fifth grade teachers analyze my life and tell me how many opportunities I've had to break down stereotypes? The first thing I learned how to count was drug money. My hood is full of kings and queens who evolved into peasants over the time span of 500 years. My ancestry was ripped away from me, replaced with guns and drugs. thugs and crackheads, misdemeanors, felonies, and jail bars. But my grandmother used to tell me, you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food in your stomach. Be grateful for what you got. Some people got it rougher than you.
Do it up with Mike Booker, y'all.